Hello there, welcome along to the RotoViz Highlight Reel, brought to you by Draft. On the Highlight Reel each week, we feature the top articles on rotoviz.com and get an extended insight into the writer's process and findings. For those of you who don't know, RotoViz is a sports data and analytics site that publishes over 1,000 articles per year and has a suite of more than 20 proprietary apps. My name's Colm Kelly. You can find me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. My guest today is going to be Heath Kruger. You can find him on Twitter at HeathK. But, I mentioned the articles that we talk about here on the Highlight Reel. Today, we're going to be talking more about a process rather than just an article, but we're obviously going to be talking as well about one of the lead guys here at RotoViz Radio in terms of DFS knowledge and DFS content. And as I mentioned, that is Heath Kruger. So, Heath, welcome aboard the Highlight Reel.
Hey, Colm, how's it going? Nice to finally meet you. I know we've talked many a time over email and I think Slack chat as well. Nice to be on with you and ready to kind of go over the process and maybe help out all the DFS heads out there and for RotoViz listeners.
Yeah, and it's always fun getting to talk to some of the guys on RotoViz for the first time. And luckily this season, as I've done the Highlight Reel, I've got to talk to the majority of the guys that have the content there. But like yourself, somebody who I haven't talked to, but I'm just so familiar with the voice from listening to the On the Daily podcast, where you're a huge part with RotoDoc, and that is, of course, Nick Griffin, one of the co-owners here at RotoViz. So it just seems like a familiar voice. It doesn't feel like I have to figure out too much.
Yeah, definitely. And on the show, let's not get it twisted here. Nick is certainly the brains behind the operation. I come along with the process. I kind of toss in here and there, things here and there to really get it going and get Nick's to explain a lot more further on some things, as he's really just a complete DFS genius when it comes to NFL and really probably like one of the, I would say, top two, top three players in NASCAR DFS for any of you that are interested in that. So, but yeah, I guess I have my moments from time to time, but yeah.
But you mentioned as well Nick and his profile picture on Twitter. You know, if anyone's following at RotoDoc, they always might wonder, why is his picture a little football driving a car? But it's because he's crushes it week in, week out at DFS. And he's obviously phenomenal at NFL DFS, but I think he would probably say where he has the most success is probably at that NASCAR DFS. So when we get into talking a little bit about your process in DFS, could you give a general outline of the process that you use in crafting your weekly DFS lineups?
Yeah, certainly. So I begin the week by just kind of going real simply to looking at various, things like Pinnacle when it comes to game totals and team totals. I generally just open a spreadsheet and I take down the game totals, team totals, mark home and away, and really just kind of look at it from a top-down approach. So I'll look at teams with the highest team totals, then I'll look at the game totals, just kind of get an idea of where people are generally going to be looking to stack their DFS lineups, as they typically like to go after these games to where you see totals in the 48, 49, even sometimes above that 50 plus range. And that just to kind of get an idea of where you should really be looking to begin your week when it comes to where do you want to make your core plays? Where do you want to go for maybe some ownership, some guys who are going to be at low ownership percentages and things of that sort. So begin with that. And then I, from a very kind of top-down view of, I just really look at some very basic statistics to get some names down. And I try to be as liberal as I can with it before I start trimming down later. So I'll begin a week, I'll look at all the weeks, all the matchups for a certain slate, whether I, decide to play, I want to play a Thursday slate that week, or I just want to play the primetime matchups on DraftKings, kind of like that. And really just kind of break each matchup down like by just really like fantasy points given up, something as basic as that. Like for example, like we have a Cleveland Browns, Green Bay Packers matchup this week that's going on where, you're really going to attack the Packers through the air. So just kind of just throw Sean Kaiser's, Josh Gordon's name down as, and Duke Johnson as well. And it's really just guys I expect to succeed as that's where the Green Bay Packers have been a week against. And I kind of take it as, essentially put as many names down as I possibly can that I feel are going to be valid plays for that week. And then as the week goes on, I begin kind of whittling down here and there. I listen to certain podcasts, like the DFS MVP podcast with my buddies TJ Hernandez, Chris Raybon. It's a great one to listen to. The DFS Edge podcast is another one that's great to listen to. You can listen to ours, of course, on the daily podcast. But and I use Nick if for all the listeners out there, I'm sure you've heard from time to time. I it's a perk of the job. I get to really kind of pick Nick's brain on some certain plays that, you know, I think are going to kind of be under-owned, and I'm really just kind of wondering about myself, and I'm just hoping that really creates good content on the podcast. And then really, I use that, and then kind of all of the Friday content on RotoViz in particular to really kind of drill down on the guys I'm going to cut and the ones I'm going to keep. We do a weekly article every week sponsored by Fantasy Labs. It's kind of like a DraftKings like tournament plays type article to where we all select certain plays that we think are going to be a combination of low ownership and returning great value based on their salary price. And I use things like that, and I believe there's a couple others as well. Ben Gretsch writes a fantastic article every week that I always check out, and really just kind of begin whittling down until when on Saturday, that's when I begin crafting all my lineups. And I like to use Fantasy Labs' lineup generator. It's a fantastic tool to really just kind of get the basis of my ownership percentages on what I'm going to – or not ownership percentages, excuse me, my personal player percentages, like – if I want to play a particular wide receiver or running back, for example, this week, I wanted to play at least 40% to 50% of Giovanni Bernard. That was a play I kind of had in my head as one that's going to be just in kind of a smash spot. So I'll begin and really just kind of lay it out there, you know, generate these lineups depending on how where I want to allocate my ownership or my personal player percentages on certain players. And then I begin fine-tuning them, just kind of going through every single lineup to ensure that it really kind of flows and it makes sense from a tournament standpoint to make sure I get, you know, guys of am I going to have proper diversification in this lineup to where I'm not going to have a similar lineup possibly, you know, if I do happen to get a high score, I'm not going to be sharing the top spot with three or four other people, something you really don't want to do. So yeah, and it's really just kind of a weekly, you know, it's a process throughout the whole week to where I just kind of take a little bit of time here and there and really am able to better craft my thoughts and make decisions by the time Saturday hits, when it's just kind of just been, you know, brewing all week.
Yeah, you start with a wide kind of net and then really whittle it down into what you really want to have a high concentration of in your lineups. And you mentioned there as well the play of the week that be up on rotoviz.com, something that Charles Kleinhaxel puts together on a weekly basis with a lot of writers up on RotoViz. I'm glad to be part of that there as well. I've had a up and down year. I started it very bad and then it started to pick up quite considerably in 3 or 4 weeks where I was up around the top 3 or 4, but the last 2 weeks, let's just not talk about them. But of course they are up on rotoviz.com, and you mentioned the great DFS content that's up there, and of course all the podcasts can be found there as well. But you can get yourself a subscription to a RotoViz NFL pass right now for 30% off. It is available through the NFL podcast homepage. That is rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription will give you unlimited access to all of our NFL content and tools, and best of all, it helps support the pod. So that's 30% off just for listening to the podcast. And of course that page once more is rotoviz.com/podcast. Go get yourself 30% off, give it to yourself as a nice Christmas present. And of course there is lots of great apps up there and lots of great tools and information, so I couldn't recommend that highly enough. So as we move on, you talked about the process of getting those lineups, but is it a similar process, whether it's GPP or that's grand prize pools for anyone maybe who doesn't know, or else cash game lineups? Is it a, you know, is it the similar process and then you just kind of diverge maybe at a fork in the road where you decide these guys have a more high upside play and these guys are a more of a, you know, a balanced play overall?
Yeah, so the entire process is really kind of where it arrives at on Saturday is when I begin to, you know, kind of craft my cash lineups and my tournament lineups, really just kind of based off of that same process. So essentially the really only thing that comes down to my cash lineup is I just select my top plays and the ones that I am for, you know, I feel are for sure going to return value or are the most likely to return value. Which means it could be low ownership plays if I'm just really particularly high on a certain guy. Yeah, I don't necessarily rule them out if I expect them to be like a sub 2% ownership play. But they tend to be higher ownership guys. Like, for example, you know, coming off of this week, I'm sure everyone will see Josh Gordon and kind of the week he at least has had thus far against Green Bay. He is a guy I decided to really just kind of, you know, risk my week in tournaments on fading him, just given how many lineups I expected to have Josh Gordon in them. And I think I felt I could get a significant advantage by fading him. But in my cash lineup, there's really no reason to, just given the value you were getting from a wide receiver who was seeing that many targets against a very poor Green Bay secondary. Same thing with like a Giovanni Bernard and stuff like that. It really just comes down to pure value plays for my cash lineup, as to where there's some additional decision making when it comes to how you're going to craft your tournament lineups. But yeah, the process really all leads to the same thing. It's just you kind of diverge at that final point when crafting lineups.
Yeah, and it's interesting there, as you mentioned as well. You know, certain players you mightn't want them in your GPP lineup, but you want as a fade, but you want them in the other lineup. That happens very, very much so on a weekly basis with me. So it's always interesting to hear somebody else kind of agree on that. You mentioned as well ownership projections. Do ownership projections maybe, like you already kind of hinted on it with Josh Gordon, but does that there tend to influence your decision? You know, going and fading a guy, Josh Gordon, somebody who I faded this week too, in particular, does the ownership percentage influence that decision often with you?
Oh yeah, it's one of the biggest factors, and I think something a lot of at least people who are new to DFS tend to not really think about all that much, and it's one they should strongly consider. It's possibly even more important than really the value ratio you're expecting to get from a player at their price. For example, when you have things happen in the NFL, weird things happen. Nothing tends to really go consistently week to week like how we expect it to go. For example, we have, Kareem Hunt, who started out the season gangbusters, as to where it's he went 8 straight weeks all of a sudden without a touchdown. And this is a team that was previously just giving him all of the touches, all the goal line work, and all of a sudden he's sharing work with Charcandrick West after looking like a possible MVP candidate. So you have to really just kind of account for those things. Like even in smash spots, to where guys like kind of why I chose to fade Josh Gordon this week, I understand that Josh Gordon is in a fantastic spot. He's cheap. He's a value play. He's seeing all the targets against a very vulnerable secondary. But I have to account for that, and you have to think of it as a sliding scale. As that ownership percentage goes up, and you essentially have to kind of think of it as, what advantage am I gaining by if Josh Gordon goes off? If he has a fantastic day and 70% of the other lineups have him, well, you gain a small advantage over that 30% that did not play him, but really you're kind of in the same boat as the other 70% of the lineups. You all got a great play, which is good. It's a great value return, but you don't really gain any on the field, and it doesn't rise you up the tournament leaderboards. As to where if you're in 30% of the lineups, to where Josh Gordon just happened to have a day where something didn't go right, possibly he got injured, maybe DeShone Kizer, his quarterback, happened to not be able to get him the ball on that basis, or maybe weather was going to be a concern this past weekend or expected concern. Maybe something like weather affected the game. And then if you're in that 30%, you are at a significant advantage over 70% of the other tournament lineups. So and that's kind of where it kind of comes down to.
Yeah, I feel very, very similar. It could have been a situation, I'm just going back to maybe somebody like Alvin Kamara on Thursday, but obviously he wouldn't be in any of the bigger tournaments over the weekend, or somebody like Devontae Freeman a couple of weeks back when he got that concussion very early in the game. So these things can happen, and you mentioned as well going against the Green Bay secondary. Well, last week Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson went against them, and they were highly owned, and then of course they obviously flopped in that spot. So it's a way to look around it, and as you kind of summed it up perfectly, if you're in the 30% that's not on those guys and those guys don't perform, you'll have a more significant advantage than the other way around, and you'll just be kind of on even spot with 60% of the whole lineup. So I have to agree with what you said there. So when we're looking through the kind of entire year so far for you in DFS, is there I know you had a big win in week 11. Is there any other weeks that you had nice over the season? How has it all gone for you?
It started out a little slow, kind of like you, and in the second half I've done a lot better. I think I got really more of a grasp on some of the things early that I did not believe. For example, I did not believe the New York Jets were legitimate in any sort of way in the first 5 weeks, only to kind of find, how many games you have to really watch them and see them continue to put up decent performances before you just kind of fully accept the new reality. And kind of the you know, opposite with certain spots. You know, I probably played Kareem Hunt far too many weeks, even though he was in fantastic spots. And he, you know, is coming off a point to where he was just smashing every week. I had to accept the new reality that, you know, he's just not performing well, even though he is kind of in these fantastic spots. You really have to adjust your expectations relatively to the player's performance. So like this past week, I think I actually won the, but a couple weeks back I won, or no, it was last week, excuse me, to where I won the contest we have every week at RotoViz, by playing Jermaine Kearse, kind of with just the thought process of, they're playing a very vulnerable week, a very vulnerable Chiefs secondary. Everyone's going to be on Robbie Anderson, and justifiably so, because Robbie Anderson had a great game. But Jermaine Kearse was, at least by Fantasy Labs, was projected to be a sub 2% play. And when you look at the target numbers and the fact that Jermaine Kearse has performed at various points this season to where he kind of performed well, why not take a play on Jermaine Kearse if it just so happens that week to just be a Jermaine Kearse week instead of a Robbie Anderson week? And that's kind of where you really have to go after spots like that. It's you find a way to which that player can perform even though everyone's not expecting it. And then since you're getting such a low ownership percentage play in across the tournament boards, It's so much more a valuable play if they were to go off, because you have a guy who puts up 25, 26 points, gives you great value, and essentially relative to all the other lineups, and they're not getting that same value. So you gain a huge advantage over 98% of other teams in that particular tournament.
And I meant to mention this when we were talking about the ownership percentages, and when you talked about the play of the week, and with it, sometimes it's one of my favorite ways, because I can spend Wednesday and Thursday picking out some of the guys I like in the for the GPPs that week, and then you go in and you put them in and you submit them to Charge, and Charge puts it into the article, and it's always nice to go down and see certain players you might have in, and they might have five people have selected them out of the say 15 that we have on the thing, then there might be only one of certain players that have been selected, and that gives you a really clear indication, and I think that's very good for the listeners to check out as to who the RotoViz guys are trying to select that week, is to give a kind of broader, if you multiply those percentages to see how the general population are going to go with those players and draft them rather in their prize pools that week. So I often think that's a very fantastic tool for the listeners to check out. Just another question. I have this kind of question and a conundrum sometimes on a weekly basis, is if you select a lineup that you really like out of say whatever the salary cap is, if it's 50,000 on DraftKings, and then you go and you might have $900 remaining, how do you do that? Do you tend to sometimes leave quite a few dollars on the table, or do you try and get as much of them used up as possible?
Depends on the slate. Like if you're playing like a shorter slate to where there's only two games, I'm completely fine leaving something up to that much on the board, as you're really just playing percentages at that point. Your ownership percentages is much more of a bigger factor than value. When it comes down to like big scale tournaments, I don't tend to leave anything more than like 200 to 300 on the board, because you really just kind of want to. You should be playing a lot of tournaments, as it's really going to help out with that variance. The weekly variance that you're just going to have by playing a particular set of players when you're playing against an entire NFL's worth of players. It really just kind of depends on the slate. I'm much more willing to leave money on the board in short slates to where it's only a few games, and I tend to leave a lot less on the board when I have, for example, like a main slate I'm playing on.
And the next question I have for you is with the DFS. A lot of people, particularly early in the the DFS run 3, 4, 5 years ago, it was kind of viewed as a separate entity from traditional fantasy football. I think the gap is more closed, and people are using it as a different way to play. People are playing season-long leagues, but then they're playing as well in DFS on a weekly basis. That's certainly how I'm doing it. But is there anything that you think that maybe some people who only play season-long or only play dynasty leagues can maybe learn from DFS players? And I think as we start here in the playoffs this week in fantasy football, pretty much everyone's in a week-to-week kind of daily fantasy league at the moment.
Oh, yeah. There's really so much you can learn, not only just to really kind of how you think of fantasy football, but also just even as something as simple as setting your weekly lineups. When you're a DFS player, when it comes down to setting your lineups for your regular season-long fantasy football leagues, it's a breeze. It's an absolute breeze. You're not going to be the guy who's, you know, asking questions on, like, you know, who do I start between these three people to play at the flex? You're just going to kind of know, because you're going to understand that matchups are very underrated as to how significant they are when it comes to a player's fantasy production. A lot of dynasty players will view, for example, we have a Julio Jones. You know, Julio Jones is viewed as this elite wide receiver that is just going to smash every week because he's Julio Jones and he's utterly dominant. No, that's not going to be the case, because certain teams are going to adjust to him. Certain teams are going to double him. Certain teams have a lockdown corner that's going to really do be able to at least influence the offense enough to not throw in his direction as much. And in a DFS in particular, you really kind of you begin to understand that thought process of, you know, just because a player is fantastic doesn't mean the opposing defense on the other side is fantastic as well. That doesn't necessarily mean that elite offensive player can't have a good day. It just the range of outcomes is kind of it's widened. They could have a much worse day than they typically do, while they could still have a very good day as well, because they are that same elite player. And I think that's really kind of what the big draw from just kind of experiencing DFS. You don't have to be like a big time DFS player by any means, but really just begin to understand that matchup is very important, and it can really even influence your waiver wire pickups too, as you'll be able to see these things coming if you happen to need a fill-in at your flex, or a fill-in because you had a running back injury or a wide receiver injury. And then really will also kind of lead you down that same road of as to why you see a lot of big name players such as like a J.J. Zacharyson, why they never put any significant draft value into the quarterback position, because you really just you begin to see point values and really just how significant they are into investing into a single player as versus just picking up guys off the waiver wire each week.
Yeah, and I think I found that when I went to start playing Dynasty Leagues maybe 8 or 9 years ago, that you start to dive into deeper rosters. You know who the kind of third and fourth string guys are at the wide receiver position. You know kind of the boys at the bottom, at the fringe of the roster, who might potentially be cut but have stayed on throughout the season. Then injuries happen, you start to know that, oh, they're going to be elevated up into the next spot on the team. And it's the same with DFS. But you mentioned the difference, and I think it's a case of you're looking at a slate with, say, 10 games. You've 20 teams, and you're selecting from pretty much a 20-man slate on each side if you cut the roster in half for just offense, and you're trying to pick out who you're going to have. Then you go back to your redraft league or your season-long league, and you pretty much only have the option of, do I start this guy over this guy? And it just makes it so, so easy after that scenario. But I want to ask you a question I just came up with while we're doing it, and I know I've listened to a lot of podcasts this season and a lot of different DFS podcasts too. My three words that I've written down that I've noticed in DFS this year that have been probably the most used words, and I'm going to put the pressure on you now, you can only pick one to use for the rest of the show. One is spot, one is smash, and the other is crush. Which do you think is the most used word in DFS this year?
Oh, it's very clearly a spot for me. Yeah. You gotta go because it's multifaceted. You can go bad spot, you can go good spot. Well, I guess I do say smash spot a lot too, so I can't say that. Yeah, but
you can still get away with spot.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, because if somebody plays bad, you can't really say they smashed or they crushed, but they can still have a bad spot, I guess. You find a niche in the market there. I think you've worked that out quite well. But if you think somebody has a good spot in the coming week of games, and it is a form of DFS, but it's in the draft format, and that is with Draft, and you can check them out on playdraft.com, or you just search for Draft in the App Store, and you can join the game in minutes or play right from your computer, as I mentioned, at playdraft.com, whichever way you prefer. For a limited time only, all players get a free entry into a draft and make your first deposit. All you have to do is use our code RVRadio. Play for real money for free just for entering that promo code RVRadio and making that first deposit on Draft. It's been a lot of fun this season. It's another way. We talked about Dynasty, we talked about DFS. It is a DFS format, but it's just another little chink in it to move it around and have a little bit more fun on a weekly basis. So check that out at playdraft.com, and of course in the App Store it is the Draft app. So So rest of season, obviously, you're going to be on the DFS podcast that we have here on RV Radio. That is On the Daily with RotoDoc. We kind of mentioned it at the start. It comes out every Thursday. But do you want to mention what the listeners, if they haven't heard it yet, I don't know what they've been doing if they haven't heard it yet, but what they can expect to hear for the rest of the season on the Daily?
Oh, yeah. You can expect Nick to come out with just absolutely genius takes. You can expect me, you know, kind of like, as I say from time to time, it's, you know, a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. Sometimes you can get some takes from me as well, but mostly just kind of really just going back and forth and just kind of trying to dig into these things. As when we premiered on Thursday, we kind of have to do it with the thought process of things are actually going to change on Friday, on Saturday, and even early Sunday as well. So we really just kind of begin to it gets you in a process of just kind of picking your brain, or at least get you thinking on certain matchups. You know, kind of what to expect, where we think it's going to be, where all the ownership percentage is going to be, where we think we could really kind of take advantage of a vulnerable market to where people are overlooking a certain guy. Yeah, and just kind of, it'll help you with your cash game plays. We even have a draft feature every week to where me and Nick have weekly been going back and forth and doing kind of just a heads up draft. I'm ahead on that, Nick. 7-6. 7-6, but I'm ahead on the week, or on the season, excuse me. And yeah, we even kind of do a little bit of betting advice here and there as well for using my bookie. So yeah, you can kind of get a little bit of everything. But yeah, if you just listen in, hopefully you just kind of take away from it just something to really kind of get you going when, you know, crafting lineups of where you're where you should be on certain players, where, you know, cash game lineups are going to be, where you should be kind of thinking of stacking,
as I mentioned, starting games or tournament lineups, and you know, things like that. Thursday, get that podcast. I have kind of my ideas kind of starting to mold into shape, but there's sometimes then you'll switch me on to an idea that I start to dive a little bit deeper into, or maybe something that I was too high on at that stage of the week and make me look into it, and maybe I see that I might have been slightly over-emphasizing what I thought of a certain matchup. So lots of things you can take away from it on a weekly basis. That, of course, as I mentioned, there's On the Daily. It is the NFL DFS podcast here on RotoViz Radio. So that's going to do it for today's edition of the RotoViz Highlight Reel, brought to you by Draft. My name's Colm Kelly. You can find me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. My guest today was RotoViz.com writer and, of course, podcast aficionado here on RotoViz Radio, Heath Kruger. You can follow him on Twitter at Heath K. Have a good one. Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Highlight Reel. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.